Greetings. I'm Joel of Heart City Church, and welcome again to Happy and Whole in Him. And this week we've been talking about the topic of fear. So let me ask you, who was the most fearful person who ever lived? We find the answer in Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 3. Isaiah prophesies, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord." Isaiah looks down the corridor of time and sees this Spirit-filled man who will delight in the fear of the Lord. And we know who this is. The coming descendant of Jesse is Jesus. This prophecy tells us Jesus was more fearful than any human being has ever been. Jesus, who was fully God, became man to be filled with the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And I suspect you're thinking, "Joel, you tricked us." Or you might be thinking, "I never thought of Jesus being fearful." We tend to think of Jesus as the faithful son, not the fearful son. We tend to oppose fear to faith. We think fear is opposed to faith because the word fear carries a lot of negative freight, especially in our day when folks say, "No one should live in fear." And this is not all wrong. Do not fear is actually the most frequent command in the Bible. But we need to ask the question, as we read the verse, what does this refer to? Context is key. Yes, perfect love casts out all fear, 1 John 4:18. But that is referring to fear related to feeling guilty or sinful in the light of the final judgment. Fear of the Lord is something different, even though it uses the same word fear, because the same response is experienced. What response is that? Trembling, being overwhelmed, intensity. Fear doesn't have to come from guilt or sinfulness, as we know to be true of Jesus. Fear also comes when the finite experiences the infinite. And when Jesus became fully man, he experienced his infinite Father in a new way. This Hebrew word for delight, and Jesus delighting in the fear of the Lord, is a word of like inhaling, of like breathing in what is overwhelming. Something like when I got home last night and smelled the delicious dinner my wife and daughter had made. Jesus was fully taking in, breathing in his relationship with God, and he was fearful as the Spirit gave him delight in the immensity of God. And Jesus actually continues to fear God as the risen Son seated at the Father's right hand. So Joel, what do we do with this? Well, if we are in Christ, we ought to meditate on God, his greatness, his immensity, his holiness, in order to grow in our fear of him. You cannot be filled with his Spirit if you're not fearing the Lord. Second, let's rethink how we worship. Sadly, many churches shy away from fear of the Lord in their worship because they don't want to make folks uncomfortable. They want folks to know the love of God, not that folks should fear him. And many churches are on the decline for this faulty reasoning. They fear making people uncomfortable by failing to encourage folks to fear God, which suggests they see people as big and God as small. My friends, fear the Lord and love of God are not at odds. Listen to Psalm 147:11. "The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love." We delight in the fear of the Lord as we breathe in the atmosphere of his out-of-this-world love. And the Lord delights in us as we tremble over the immensity of it. And the Lord also grows us. He grows his church. Listen to what happens to the early church in Acts 9:31. "And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied." Church growth came because they were walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Do you hear comfort and fear are not at odds? Let me close with an illustration from Jerry Bridges. Imagine you're dying, and you needed a blood transfusion because you had a rare blood type. And a relative was a match and provided it. Well, you'd be pretty happy. Imagine if the president or some other powerful person discovered he was a match, and he came to the hospital and gave his blood to save you. You would be in greater awe because such a great person gave their blood to save you. And you probably know where this is going. My friend, the eternal Son of God became finite man so that he could give the blood you needed so that you might be saved. Delight in the immensity of that and tremble, my dear friend. Remember who you are and who you belong to.